Good morning and welcome to the Roundtable panel for this Monday, the 18th of January. Very nice to have you with us on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Many of you have it as a holiday. The reason I could tell that is it took me about 27 minutes to get to work.
Exactly.
Oh, so you were here early.
It was nice. It was really nice.
And it took me 2 hours and 10 minutes to get here, when it's usually a less than one hour commute. I ran into a snow squall, truly squall. I've never seen anything like it, coming over the mountains from Berkshire County over to the thruway. I could not see a quarter of an inch ahead of me.
It was effect.
That's what it was, but it was scary.
It is scary.
Really
and
scary.
That stretch of the road there can really get hit.
That's right. And that's when you know why WAMC is so important, because the radio is on, has a calming interest.
Oh,
is that
it?
Saved my life.
Okay.
And it'll save yours, too.
Now, how do we...
S-A-V-E-D.
It saves your life and helps you get married. I love that the claims here are not too inflated.
No, they're not.
Well, they're certainly not.
Now we
what
just have
implying?
To...
I think you need to do some investigative journalism into these claims.
What are you implying, Rosemary?
Now we just have to come together as a community and save the radio station.
Yes.
You see, as if there were a lockbox...
They walked right into that, didn't they?
Yes. As if there were a lockbox waiting to have $500,000 in it before February 2nd. February 1st.
Monday, yeah.
And, well, if we make the $500,000 point, we get $25,000 from the Spitzer Foundation. So you're ready for the total? This was...
Drum roll.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's $377,154.
Wow.
That's really great.
Now, the beauty of that is that it gets faster. It has to get faster as you get closer. So how many days do we really have left?
We have exactly 2 weeks from today, sir.
Wow. So look, this is a station that people feel passionate about, and I know it. So I'm asking that everybody who can do anything, we're asking, I should change the pronoun, we're asking that anybody who can do anything right now, whether it's $5, whatever it is, do it today. Go to WAMC.org and stick something into that lockbox.
I didn't know where you were going.
I
got to run myself up short, too.
We can do this. Alan was explaining this on Friday, I believe, was the whoosh.
The whoosh factor.
The whoosh.
Yeah.
So right now, you know, we've got the ripples, but we're just waiting for the whoosh. And the whoosh is what's going to get us through the final $100,000, but we got to get to that point. So as of right now, it's $377,154.03, I would add.
Where does that come from?
I don't know. But
it does give credibility to the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's where we are. And, don't forget, do I have it? Yes. We have a lovely tote bag that, because it's public radio and you're required by public radio law to give away a tote bag, we have for a $100 donation right now for the lockbox. Now, you can't get this later. This is a lockbox exclusive.
It is.
A lockbox exclusive that will take for $100. It's a big white grocery bag, recyclable, made out of recyclable bottles.
Big is an understatement.
That's right. It's huge.
It is huge. You could pick it. You could, you know, what was the old song? I'm going to write myself a letter, you know, and mail myself to you. You could do that right
here. Sit right down, myself a letter, and mail myself to you. Right.
And you could do that right here. You could put yourself big thing. And then you could go over into my neighborhood to the Guido's or to...
Right down here, co-op or to
the co-op. You know all that stuff, huh?
Yeah.
It's cool. And then you go in there, you know, and 2 weeks later you will be married, or somebody of your designation could get married. Somebody comes up to you and says, I didn't know you were interested in WAMC. 2 weeks later you could be married, but you're already married. So you say, let me name a substitute.
A proxy.
That's a new one.
A proxy, if
where
you will.
Where are we going with this?
Oh, my gosh. I'm
this
lost.
This is really weird. Right.
But everybody gets it.
Yes. We are excited. It's WAMC.org. Let's not lose sight of that fact, WAMC.org. Yeah. All right. To join us, let me introduce our panel real quick. WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm still trembling from my experience coming over the mountain.
Well, we'll calm
with
you down.
Kate Smith.
We'll calm you down.
No, Kate Smith.
Comes, what?
When the moon comes over the mountain.
Oh.
I used to love Kate Smith.
I thought that was God Bless America. I'm sorry.
But except that there's a small problem.
This program is completely irrelevant.
Political consultant Libby Post joins us.
And aren't you all impressed that I know who Kate Smith is?
Yes, well, we are impressed. We're very impressed, of course, if you've been listening to the radio
Speak for yourself.
Show for more than,
I'm not impressed.
A minute.
Okay. And investigative reporter and University at Albany journalism professor. When do you start professing again?
Wednesday.
Nice. Very nice.
I can't wait.
You look like you can't wait. Rosemary Armeo is here, and she is here to make this program relevant.
And
yes.
Walked in without a cane for the first time.
I did. I'm improving every day. It's great.
And next up?
I want to talk about why the governor of Michigan is still in office. I want that on our agenda today.
Oh,
that story is unreal.
I have it, and it's part of the. It's also part of the debate story.
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, congratulations on not walking without a cane.
Thank you.
Next.
Of course,
next.
Libby held me up on the icy sidewalk outside.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
I know. I was terrified if I fell, I'd be back in the hospital.
Hand me down my walking cane. Hand me down my walking cane. I'm going to ride the midnight train.
It's important for people to help each other. People helped me when I had my knee done, you know.
That was very nice.
It's just the way it is. I'm a very good son-in-law.
And next,
always have been.
Next up, Rosemary will be walking across water.
Yes. Well, I thought that already happened.
Yeah,
that could be.
Absolutely. Yeah. That could have already happened. All right, let's get back. Let's get started. Why don't we do that? Why don't we actually do something? And here is the... first let's talk about the Iran prisoner swap. We'll start there.
Cool.
Okay, we'll start there. And then we'll talk about other stuff. Okay. So this happened over the weekend that the deal... so all of this, which is of course made a big stink at the time, as far as the Iran deal, and now part of this, for a year, Obama administration officials had been meeting in secret with Iranian counterparts, seeking to free Americans imprisoned in the Islamic Republic. Finally, last fall, a deal for a prisoner release seemed all but sealed. But the Iranians arrived at the latest clandestine session in a Geneva hotel suite with a whole new proposal that insisted on the release of dozens of Iranians held in American prisons, essentially returning to initial demands that had long been rejected. Americans were flabbergasted. We've already talked about this, said Brett McGurk, the lead negotiator, but the Iranians were adamant, according to American officials informed about the meeting. Something back home had changed, part of the continuing battle inside Iran over how to deal with the United States. And Secretary of State John Kerry announced that the prisoner exchange deal was a success over the weekend. And as we speak, those prisoners are on their way back. The United States of America.
And, of course, there are Republicans who are suggesting that this is a bad deal and that we're only encouraging others to bad behavior to do those things.
And if George Bush had secured this, it would have been the second coming of Christ. So,
congratulations to the Washington Post, who got back their reporter. I think that was great. Yeah. And his wife, who's also a photographer.
Yeah, they didn't want to send the wife back.
They did
or
not.
The mother.
Well, you know, we Americans, led by CNN, are just like looking at everything the Iranians do as horrible, and they're traitorous. They said apparently smile when they took a picture of the sailors on the ship that wandered into Iranian waters, and that scene now is that they wanted to use it for propagandistic purposes. And then this last minute,
the official
change,
CNN line, by the way, is under duress.
Yeah,
they keep
under
on
duress.
Using that.
Come on.
Under duress.
Come on. Well, they should have been. They were caught where they shouldn't have been. They were
right.
Under duress. So it seems to me that John Kerry, again, is being under-touted. He has done a remarkable job. He's responsible
for this
treaty and for getting these people back. And the numbers are off. There's more Iranians released for the Americans. However, the Americans are more high profile. They are worth more. That's the Iranians are good negotiators.
And a number of the people that got released from that were Iranian prisoners were people who were arrested around the financial dealings.
Correct.
So now we have corrected that. The sanctions are up. Why do we keep these people in jail and cost taxpayer money to care for them?
But unlike Rosemary, I don't have much faith in the Iranian leadership. I think they're basically bad people. And I have to say that I don't like the fact that there is this tension in Iran between, you know, the Ayatollah crowd And the progressive crowd, and they've allowed the election, and I mean allowed the election of a prime minister who is acceptable to the West and to the disgruntled folks who live in Iran. It is a dictatorship, and to many, it is an evil dictatorship.
Well, you mischaracterize me. I do not trust the Iranian leadership. Okay. But we don't negotiate with people we trust with. We're their allies. We don't have to do this with France or with the U.K. So we have a deal with them. If they don't keep their bargain, we smush them. Israel will smush them. We'll smush them. They have to stick with the bargain.
Well, Israel came out this weekend, as you know. Yep. The prime minister comes out and says, you know, he'll be the guarantor of the fact that
I've always said that. And that's indeed a role that they should and ought to play. And I think the American negotiators knew that when they went into it.
Yeah.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but at the time that the Iran deal was originally announced, the part of the criticism, there was much criticism, but part of the criticism on behalf of the Republicans was that we were not including the prisoners in that. And how the hell could we go through a deal without ensuring that those prisoners be released? So now that as the deal takes shape and actually comes to fruition and the prisoners are indeed part of the deal—
Donald Trump is saying, see, I did this. It was because I was calling for this that they've included these people. Unbelievable.
It's clearly two things that are going on. One, people like Donald Trump and possibly even Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio don't really understand how diplomacy works and that you don't say everything, you know, not everything gets put out for public fodder right off the bat. And the other part of this is that they will not provide any support for the president, period, no matter what he does. It's the same old GOP soundbite, Obama bad, we're good, that's the end.
I also think the Republican candidates, at least from their statements, have no idea how diplomacy works.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Yeah,
they don't. I
would just demand them back. Right. They'll be nice to my sailors.
Right.
And that's just not the way it works.
If they had made public the fact that they were negotiating for the release of these folks along with this other deal, along with the sanction deal, it would have it never would have happened.
It would have politicized and publicized it, thus endangering it. Yeah.
So that's where diplomacy, sometimes quiet diplomacy, is what we need.
But at some point, shouldn't there be some chest beating and saying this is what diplomacy has done so people do not have as negative a reaction?
Isn't Kerry doing that now, don't you think?
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, part of the problem is that this administration doesn't do that very well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You know, because what we've heard time and time again, and we heard this beginning with the the Bush administration, the last Bush administration, that if, you know, you, and Alan has said this many times, you know, you say it enough and enough and enough and enough, and then it becomes the truth.
Right.
Well, if you start saying, well, this is what diplomacy is doing, this is what we've actually done, this is what it's actually come out to be, then doesn't that help
persuade
people that so that there isn't this belief of not understanding how the diplomacy works?
Well, you know, I was thinking about all of this over the weekend and thinking about the idea that we get we don't really know a lot. So, for example, in one presidential campaign, all we heard, remember that, was we need more assets on the ground.
Yeah.
Who do you think these people are?
Right.
They're assets.
Right.
Otherwise, you read it, you know, read it as spies. Now, was the guy from the Washington Post a spy? Probably not. But you never know. I mean, assets are assets.
By the way, I think Marty Baron is going to be a star in another movie, Spotlight Follow-Up, because the Washington Post played a role in getting, I can't pronounce the guy's last name, Jason whatever, the reporter.
You can
call him
Jason,
getting him back. He, the paper was also participating in the negotiations, another change at the Obama administration.
It's R-E-Z-A. I-A-M.
I have no idea.
Rezizian?
I don't know. I've listened to it on TV last night so I could talk about it, and I heard it three different ways.
Yeah, okay. So,
so
the Washington Post reporter, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, we have just about 2 minutes before we go over to break, so we have time for some letters, sir.
Okay, here we go. From William Bennett. Okay, he says, at first I thought I was hearing the WAMC comedy show.
Me too.
Well, no, but here's the thing.
Starting the week off.
Well, if you're a public radio listener, you better be serious. And then William wrote back again and said, it's a lot better if it said, no offense meant. Okay, good. That's great. And, okay. And here's a great one. Somebody sent us a picture. I wondered what the heck this was, from Sarah. It is a snowman.
And very says, cute one.
In Syracuse over the weekend, much more snow there. Never know where these Fun Drive premiums will show up. And what's on the snowman's head?
Your
a
cap.
A WAMC cap.
The okay. same cap that Alan is wearing now.
I love it.
Without the carrot nose.
Right.
Yes.
Robert says, Libby,
no,
get into the light.
Okay.
No. That was somebody else. Okay. Robert said, panel, Obama had to declare a state of emergency in Michigan in order to bring
right.
federal resources to bear on the Flint disaster, but the state should be made to pay back all federal funds paid out to protect its citizens. This was a man-made disaster created by the Republican administration's drive
yes.
to save money on the backs of the poor, primarily yep. minority-populated city. The state can't be allowed to profit from its misdeeds. I know you feel passionately about this, Rosemary, because... this is a terrible, terrible thing.
So let's take a break,
and
we'll come back, and
okay.
we'll talk about the Flint story, which actually even has some, we have some...
Debate tie-in.
Well, yes, but also we're going through a situation in Hoosick Falls
right.
here, which
Same.
With
oh,
water.
Oh, that's right.
So there are some yep. parallels,
yes,
I think, to be drawn as to
yes.
the good old question of what did they know and when did they know.
And
good,
remember,
I don't know a lot about Hoosick. I'd like to hear more about
yeah.
that.
Right. It's an interesting story.
There's a debate last night.
Well, that's what we're saying. It's a part of the debate conversation.
No, I'm not being critical.
Okay.
It's just we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break, and we'll be back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. I'm just looking at the apparently Donald Trump was on the ABC News this
yeah.
week.
He lives
this
on
week,
the news.
And said, Ted Cruz right. is a very nasty guy. Didn't he say he was a dear friend earlier
yep,
this
just,
week?
Just
yeah,
recently.
Well, that guy got all shot to hell. What?
Or as Alphonse D'Amato once said, that was then and this is now.
Yeah,
yeah right.
There you go. All right.
He took a shot at New York and he's going to never...
Well,
to
whole,
regret
or,
that.
Or as Saturday Night Live made it very clear, liberal Jews. New York values equals liberal Jews.
I wrote a column in which I said exactly.
Oh, yeah.
That's
I mean,
so
I,
funny.
As soon as he said it, it was really yeah. clear what he was talking yeah. about.
So let us talk about what is happening in Flint, Michigan. This is a very disturbing story as to a water supply that has been severely tainted. And the pictures, which of course we can't show you here, but I'm no doubt you have seen on television if you've been watching the story at all and paying attention to it, is the tap water that is being taken out of many of the taps throughout the city mm-hmm. is brown water.
Mm-hmm.
It is brown water. As Trevor Noah said on The Daily Show on Thursday night, my rule of thumb is that I don't drink any water that is browner than me.
Right.
So,
yeah, people notice right away when the city made a change
yeah.
from one water supply to a cheaper one.
Well, now, to a river.
To a river.
Instead
that's
of Lake Huron.
Thing, that it didn't smell right. It didn't taste right.
Now, the reason there was some concern when they originally made the switch to the river and to the water supply is because it was corroding the lead pipes.
Right.
So now, and Rosemary, you can help me out here, I think, which is that the initial switch, had this been done initially, it would have been a fairly easy fix and not to be overly expensive to the taxpayers of Flint, Michigan. Now, since the change has been made and all of this pipe has to be replaced
Correct.
And the remediation and everything else that has to be done, we are talking about $1 billion
price. The cost
a 1.5. There was a point where it matched the jackpot of Powerball of $1.5 billion.
Wow. It's just a horrible example of governance. The number one job of any government at the state level is the health and the safety of your residents. And the Michigan residents, Flint residents, have been betrayed at that very basic level.
Let me just say I agree with you, of course. But there's a conceptual way of stating it, the number one job of the government. But if you're a parent
Wow.
and your
yeah.
kid has been
exposed to lead.
To lead, which we all know about. Think about what that, the fury and the anger and what people must be, and the hopelessness that people are thinking about now.
And look at the socioeconomic strata.
40% of that city, Libby, is
poverty
level.
There are people of color. They're for the elite in Michigan, for Governor Snyder, who's a Republican, they are disposable people.
Yep.
He doesn't have to pay attention to them. He didn't pay attention to this for a very long time. People have been talking about this, that one public health doctor has been, you know, really bringing this issue to the fore for a very long time. Like in Erin Brockovich.
Yep.
Sure.
Let's put a glass on the table and say, okay, Governor, you drink this water.
Which he did.
He
correct?
did. I don't know.
Yeah,
if
I believe
did.
He did.
He drank the water?
I believe he did.
I mean, it was.
He's not 5 years old.
Yeah. It's disgusting. It's brown.
I'm not 100% water. Certain. I believe it was either the mayor or the governor. And I'm not sure.
Okay, somebody
which.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Who drank
be
it?
That,
yeah.
Be that as it may, clean, potable water is a human right.
Yeah.
It is not a luxury. And this is a travesty to the citizens of Flint and to Michigan. And it underscores the bifurcation that's going on in this country in terms of not caring about poor people.
I do think that's right, that this is a socioeconomic issue, but it's also just horrible governance. There's nothing wrong with wanting a cheaper water supply, but there's no engineer, there's no infrastructure specialist who could have gone in and said, here are the options, here's how we go about it. That's very basic work that was
okay,
not done.
Okay, since you guys have come up with this, you know, theory on how it all works, I want to ask you both a question. What is that governor thinking this morning?
Wow.
Now, in other words,
I'm screwed.
Well, yes, but is he saying to his wife and to his kids, it's not my fault?
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, it's not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
This is somebody else's fault,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
When you say he ought to get this or get that as, you know, as a sort of a punishment, this is the way people are. Things happen on their watch that they're not in control of.
But when the water supply in Hoosick Falls, when it became
yes.
apparent what was going on in Hoosick Falls, the state stepped in.
Yep.
Okay, and NCON did its thing, and the state stepped in.
And
the EPA.
And Erin Brockovich, we should
right,
note.
Yeah, stepped in, and people were told, do not drink the water. Yesterday, there was a major water main break in Troy. People
yeah.
were told, do not drink the water. And in Michigan, they were told, drink the water.
Yeah.
You make
yeah.
a very good point.
I think there should be a mass firing in the Midwest. I want Rahm Emanuel in Chicago to go. I want the mayor in Flint and the governor of Michigan to go. People have
okay.
to hold.
That's like Alan's big whoosh.
Yeah,
yes.
Big whoosh, right. People have to hold their
officials
accountable, yeah. and they have not been. And yeah, the studies all show that it's human nature. When we do something wrong, we downplay how bad it is. We find other people to blame. I'm sure the governor is doing that. I'm sure he didn't intentionally mean to, like, cause mass retardation among children in Flint, Michigan. But it's happened, and therefore he needs to pay a price for it.
Now, okay, I just want to interject one thing, which is, you know, this case in Flint, we have a very finite date of when these problems started. In Hoosick Falls,
right.
and they are two separate cases, obviously.
Falls was corporate.
Yes. Well,
somebody do some background on this? I may not be the only one who does
okay.
not know.
Okay. So there was a toxic chemical that contaminated the Hoosick Falls water supply. There, basically, from my understanding, there is a substance, a fluid substance that is put into the inside of pipes, so that basically Teflon, so
right.
that things don't stick to the inside
right.
of the pipe.
Just like your frying pan.
That material
yeah.
was finding its way into the river. Now, what is I think interesting about the story is that one man whose father died as a result of cancer in 2013 of kidney cancer in 2013 sent the water out at his expense to be tested, It is at that time when those tests came back, when they realized at what, and I forget the numbers, you'll excuse me, but they were astronomically off the charts more than any acceptable level. And yes, there are acceptable level of toxic substances in your water. This was astronomically higher. It is at this point where Judith Enck, our good friend from the EPA, came in and said, don't drink, don't bathe, don't sniff, don't look at the water until we figure out what the hell's going on.
It's this stuff called PFOA, perfluorotoic acid.
There
was an article, Lynn was telling me, she was reading the Times magazine last week, there's a big cover story on the Times a couple of weeks ago about this stuff and DuPont and their duplicity in West Virginia. In terms of what it was doing to people, killing animals, killing the water supply, and this stuff just gets
into the water supply. That they use on the frying pans?
No.
It's some kind of Teflon thing.
It's a substance, but it's
because
not.
Because I know some factory somewhere. I read a story. It was who was responsible for the stuff that's on the frying pans in much more concentrated fashion was in trouble. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I held my stomach.
Yeah, no.
Frying pan's not safe. Is that what we're putting out on the airwaves?
No, I'm just simply saying that it's
It's a different because this is a particular different substance. But the other thing that is disturbing in the Hoosick Falls case, which does have some. And I realize, please don't write. I understand that we have two different situations of Flint and Hoosick Falls.
Sure.
I mean, the issue here is that people are drinking tainted water.
Right.
Okay. So Judith Enck, who is from Rensselaer County, writes a letter to the mayor in November and says, you know what? Residents shouldn't be drinking the water. The mayor never passed that along. It wasn't until last week that that correspondence was made public, and then that's when Judith Enck actually came to Hoosick Falls and said, "Okay, here, fun. This is what has to happen." Okay, so we look at these two cases, and but in your particular point, that A, we got to get rid of these people, and then at least in Flint, and then. Do what?
Well, I that is a good point. I think that we know we have an infrastructure problem in this country. We talk about our roads and bridges, which has some bad problems. Mm-hmm. But water mains, the water main in Troy, that was a massive break. The woman who saw it, who was one of the people who called and said the road just erupted. We have a problem with our pipes, with the way we deliver water. We need to put some money at these very basic things. So, like, take it out of wars in the Middle East. We can't fix Syria. Spend them on our water pipes.
Well, the governor of State of the State last week, he talked about infrastructure repair. And, you know, I've had 3 water main breaks on my property alone in Menance.
Right.
You know.
Well, I'm in Colony, and we had a huge water main break, and they spent a ton of money.
Right.
The town did. I give them a lot of credit for that.
The infrastructure is so old.
Right.
Some of these are clay pipes.
Right.
You know, and in Menance, it was like back from the 1850s, whatever it was. And, you know, it's just the infrastructure is old. It costs a tremendous amount of money, but it's what we need to do in order to protect the citizenry.
Right.
There's no basic right.
1850s. Can you imagine that? Civil War.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
The original pipes were still in the ground when they got replaced in Colony last year. Again, a lot of credit to the town for putting money and, you know, enduring the complaints of lots of citizens who don't like their roads ripped up and detours and all this, but it's the cost of living in a civilization.
Right. Right.
I do want to just clarify something that we mentioned earlier. It was just weeks after the switch when residents started to say in Flint, Michigan, that they were buying bottled water because the water that they were getting out of their taps was poor tasting. It was smelly, and they didn't like it. The mayor, Dwayne, I believe it's Dane Walling, said that the water is safe and it's a quality safe product, and I think people are wasting their precious money buying bottled water.
He lied to them. And all the money that the state saved by switching is going to go to lawsuits, because every one of these families that has a child who's held back, you don't fix this problem.
Right.
They can sue, and I think they have a good case. Mm-hmm. I'd vote for them if I were on a jury there.
And Barbara wrote in, and she said, our Barbara, I believe it is, make sure to mention that the damaging effects of lead on children, mental retardation, behavioral problems are permanent, capital letters permanent.
Right. Barbara. You can't undo this. They've done irreparable harm.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, it was the whole campaign against lead paint.
Chip paint.
Because look at what happened. Right. And, you know, but the thing is that we all know lead is not something that needs to be inside the body.
Especially for children, especially. Right. Awful,
right.
Awful.
And there just seems to be no sense of what's right and wrong anymore. And they let these kids drink this water.
I want to take a break because we're late. Let's catch up with that. We'll come back. We have letters. We'll get to those and wrap up the program. We'll be right back after the short break.
Support comes from the office of Dr. Vivian Letizia, Woodstock Orthodontic, Cosmetic, and General Dentistry, welcoming longtime Woodstock resident and dentist Dr. Stephen Dallow to their practice, woodstockdentist.com. Mount St. Mary College, Newburgh, preparing students for careers in healthcare, business, education, social services, and more. Admissions open house Sunday, January 31st at 9:30 a.m., msmc.edu. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. collegestreetmotors.com. And from Adams Fairacre Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, and Wappinger, burning supplies, houseplants, local and imported cheeses, prepared foods, and specialty groceries, adamsfarms.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. We are here, so we don't have to talk about television anymore.
No, I think we should do a show on our favorites.
Our good shows.
I've become an expert on television now that I'm recuperating. I lie in bed and watch TV.
Me too. Highway Patrol. You know.
Yes. Shows of another era.
I'm going to bring you some tapes, Alan, to educate you.
Or DVDs or tapes.
No, DVDs. Sorry. Okay. I used the word generically. Just checking. Yeah,
I didn't know how far we were going back.
No, DVDs.
All right. Okay, let's go to some letters, and then we'll finish up with talking about last night's debate.
Okay. Paul says, this is caused, Flint, not by elected government, but by the administration. The government still in place of the elected officials is directly due to the governor's decisions.
Right. Why he must go.
Carl said, Rosemary is so right, you can't undo this. I just tuned in. Did you mention that that was actually Barbara who wrote that in, right? And you said it too.
That you can't undo
it. Yeah. Did you mention that an EPA employee told Detroit they were making a horrible mistake and the EPA shut that employee down?
Yeah, we do not know how to deal with whistleblowers in this country either. Instead of listening to them, we fire them and demean them.
Okay, somebody else writes, Anonymous, Skytop, the same concern for residents in the L.A. area of California where methane gas leak has been going on since October.
Yeah. Right.
1,000 metric tons leaked. Who is the governor? And
that's Jerry Brown.
Jerry Brown of California.
Well, of course. Yeah. I think that was his point. Anyway.
I have to look for him. He may have to go, too. I don't know yet. I have to look that up. I don't know if he's liable there.
He didn't marry Linda, so okay.
that was a bad move, wasn't it? Linda Ronstadt, how could you not marry her?
You don't know
good.
Yeah.
He's better now than he was in the day. Although those pictures of the methane are very, very frightening.
That was scary.
Beth says, morning, folks. A tragedy like Flint is an excellent opportunity for philanthropists of some sort or, in parentheses, our government to step in and pay for, provide chelation therapy for everyone, a natural treatment for heavy metals in the body, also used in cases of lead poisoning for many years.
Carter Center, I just want
to give a shout out to Cher, who brokered like hundreds of thousands of bottles of water to be donated.
Oh, that's cool.
She paid and she brokered more, so it's great.
Lisa says, when I was a little girl, we would do vacation in Toms River, New Jersey. I would swim in the bay, and if I swallowed water, I would vomit. People fished and gave the fish to our cats wouldn't eat it. Our cats wouldn't eat it. Last year, I saw a book called Toms River. Turns out they were dumping poison in the water. Okay, so that's Lisa. Jim says, Bernie, scaled down version of global warming. Think big, Bernie is. Okay. And Michael says, Rosemary, did I hear Rosemary defending the taking of American soldiers by Iran and held hostage for 2 days? This is the same. They say whatever they want.
No, that's not what you said.
That's not what I said. And that isn't even what happened.
And by the way, that's why he said, did I hear?
So the answer is
okay,
no.
The answer. And James says, when I heard about the suspicious cancer case in Hoosick Falls, I recall that a friend of my brother and his wife moved to Hoosick Falls in the early 90s. Around 10 years later, both died from brain cancer. Coincidence?
I just have to say, back to your point, Rosemary, about whistleblowers, there are people who have been doing cancer mapping in this country for decades.
Right.
And we always poo-poo it as it is. It is.
It's not provable.
It is anecdotal.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
No scientific basis.
I swear to God, you look in Pittsfield, and you look at the cancer mapping that was done around GE.
Right.
It is. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It is.
They just keep raising the bar.
It's like lie detector tests. We can't look at those in a court of law either. But don't you really believe lie detectors? Yes,
we do. But by the way, we only have 3 minutes left to discuss the debate last night, and I don't want to answer all the letters about why we didn't talk about it. So here's what I think. I think it was a good debate. I think, that Bernie had to answer for the NRA, but he had a good answer for it, basically saying that he got a D-minus on their thing. So what are you yelling at me for not being strong enough on gun control? And what stood out to you guys?
O'Malley doing there? Get rid of him. I don't understand. I didn't read one word about him in the follow-ups
today. That's very
funny. And I think that Bernie has a wonderful plan for health care. Hillary had it two administrations ago and couldn't
get it
through.
Not really.
I have no idea how he's going to get that through. I think her point is right, that focusing on that now means Obamacare goes away and we're right back where we were.
Well,
disingenuous to say, there are still, 29 million people without health care. There were 45 million people without health care before Obamacare.
Okay, but I'm just going to take the contrary here. And I'm going to tell you that I am a big believer in Medicare for all, and I think Bernie is exactly right.
We all love it. How are you going to make it happen?
Well, you got to start somewhere, but I want to say I read in the New York Post this weekend online an article about Bernie. It was so disgraceful. It was beyond belief. They are now calling him a communist.
Yeah.
They are bringing up his YPSL. You guys don't remember YPSL, the Young Socialist League membership and all the rest of this
stuff. Well, that is disgraceful, but that's what the Republicans are going to do.
Oh, yeah.
In fact,
they already did do it.
Did you hear their debate this week? They already were calling him. Yeah, good, Kasich goes. Put Bernie in, we'll win every state against that socialist / communist.
No, it's they will brand him that way, and he will not be able to shake that brand off because it's true, and he has said
it. What's true?
He has said he's a socialist.
So?
Right, so. But for middle America, they don't want to hear that.
You know, when the gay thing came up, and gay marriage came up, and there was a huge change in the psyche of America, and they moved. And
it
they
took
should
50
have moved.
Years almost. And,
no,
and in the meantime, when Bernie doesn't get elected, we're going to have three, maybe, Supreme Court justices appointed by Donald Trump or one of his cronies?
Well, it is right now, Bernie points out that he's doing very well in the national polls.
There was a poll that came out yesterday that put Hillary 25 points ahead.
Exactly.
Give me a break.
That's a lot of points.
Yes.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton certainly seized on the many policy shifts of Bernie Sanders yesterday, and it was last night. It was not like the previous debates where they all agreed to get along and just talk about some of the differences in how we make the country
Well,
better.
It is interesting that Bill apparently was quoted in the papers as saying that the Hillary campaign had made a major mistake in not going after Bernie earlier, and noblesse oblige.
Well, I mean, I think it's commendable that the Democrats are trying not to blast each other. I mean, and their debates have generally been respectful and substantive, unlike
the
Republicans.
Not to make it into
But they also want to win.
Yeah. I mean, Marty O'Malley really needs to say goodbye.
He needs to get out, yeah.
You know, he's not even on.
He
hasn't even been able to get onto some of the ballots.
I don't know if I buy that.
Why?
I
mean, what purpose did he serve
we
last
haven't,
night?
We haven't. Okay.
I hate to agree with them. Anyway, for me,
don't we have a democracy where we should have all the candidates?
Well,
in
then you'd have to have 695,000 people on that stage.
Okay, but you have a party candidate who is running for the office. Look, he came in darn near second in the episode of The Good Wife.
Oh, please. We do have a democracy. He can talk and we can sit here and mock him. It's like, what are you doing? Is this doing him any good? Is this helping him to be vice president or a cabinet member?
He's been
what
in
is
it the longest.
Who?
O'Malley.
Barton O'Malley. Governor of Maryland. Okay.
Yeah, if he's been in it the longest, he should be in much better position, and he's not.
Get WAMC.org.
How much is in there already, Joe? We lost it. We lost
it. We need about 130.
It's 377. Yeah. 377.
We need 130.
Thank you very much, everybody. WAMC.org for the lockbox.
We need you. We need you.
Alan, Rosemary, Libby, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
We'll be back.
For all you do.
After this break. Thank you.